Well, good morning. Thank you for being here. It's a joy to be able to come to worship together and to be a part of what God is doing here at Macedonia and celebrate with you. There's a great word that I picked up that means a lot to me as we were singing. Here's the word and see if it means a lot to you. Ready? Savior. Savior. That's a great word. So I trust that today, as we move into this category of the kingdom of God, that the word Savior, who He is, Christ Jesus, our Lord, will mean a lot to you. This is one of those, I feel like it's always with me, but Terry says it's always with him. It's hard stuff. You know? So today is a heavy doctrine. So you theologians here can go home and sort this out and then correct me, not today, okay, just later. So I'm going to try my best to take what we studied on our elders' retreat, by the way. This is what we studied. This was assigned to us, six elders. This was assigned to us way before we went on elders' retreat to study that, and so we could study it together. So what I'm trying to... Let me make sure I got the clock right. That clock is wrong. I'm going to have to go with mine. So just so you'll know, Epitine Valley, they're studying the same subject with the same outline, with a lot of the same verses. Just so you'll know, when we were on Elders Retreat, we did the same outline with a lot of the same verses, and it was almost an hour each session, so that's 4 hours worth. I've already been told that I got 2 hours worth of scripture today. So we're in for a long day. It's only a joke, people. Good night. You look like you're like, I'm leaving at 12. Okay, leave. Good. Go. But, hey, let me get to 12. I'm gonna handle it like cutting it where I need to cut it. But I do have those that outline with 4 main points for this subject. So let me start by saying we need a definition. Let me say, I need a definition. I'm a definition type guy, so you will know. I need to define things. When words come up, I need to study and find the definition of that. And that's what I'm gonna do. Some definitions real brief to get in this introduction. This is the introduction. Tyndale. Bible dictionary. Here it is. The kingdom of God is the sovereign rule of God. It's initiated. Notice it. It's initiated by Christ's earthly ministry and consummated. I know these are some heavy words. When the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. It's just a definition there. Let me read. R.C. Sproul gave a good definition, and I think this will help us, and it's helped me, and then I hope it'll help you as I try to communicate this subject to you. He says, this kingdom is the reality that came with Jesus as the fulfillment of God's plan for history, of which Old Testament prophets had often spoken. The kingdom is present with Jesus Christ. His miracles are signs of it. The kingdom takes command of a person's life when he or she submits in faith to the lordship of Christ, a commitment that brings salvation and eternal life. The kingdom will be preached and grow until the Son of Man, now reigning in heaven, reappears to gather his elect from every corner of the world, end quote. That's a long one, so I hope that helps set the stage here. As you think about the kingdom of God, so I'll give you this as the 2 hours worth of verses ahead of time. I'm not going to read them. The kingdom of heaven, that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, 32 times in the gospel according to Matthew. So there's Matthew. So as we move on into the gospels, the kingdom of God is mentioned 68 times. So that's how many times the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is mentioned. People always ask this question, so I'll answer it. What's the difference? They're the same. It's the same. Functionally, it's the same. So that's the next question. Why did Matthew? Remember, Matthew was considerate of the Jewish audience. The word God, you don't say that. So that's an answer. They are synonymous. They speak of the same. Here's my key thought. I'll start with this, try to explain it, and then I'll end with it. And I trust that it will help you. Key thought, the kingdom of God is already and not yet. See, so I can see you looking at me like, with a question mark, what is that? That doesn't make sense. I hope it'll make sense as I go through it. The kingdom of God is already and not yet. Interesting. The kingdom of God is a two-part model. Now and coming. Now and reality's coming. It's here and there's much more to come. Is present but not yet completed. Is present but looking for the future. That's the kingdom of God, looking for the future. The kingdom of God was inaugurated by Christ's first coming, by all that he accomplished from his virgin birth to his ascension. Things like what a sinless human life looked like. Sinless human life. His ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. That's it. Now, he, Jesus Christ, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, his kingdom is a spiritual, invisible, but one day it will be visible and literal. Does that help a little bit? Just sort of nod if that helps a little bit. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't do anything. Just sit there, and I'm going to try to help you. So that's what we're looking at here in this subject. It's that big. At Christ's second coming, he will finalize his kingdom. It'll be final then. As the scholars say, it'll be consummated then. It will be completed then. And he will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. That's not yet. It's already and not yet. And by the way, so you'll know and then you can deal with this. This already and not yet is the Reformed model when it comes to this subject. That's what that is. So the Reformers see it this way, according to Scripture. So that's what we're looking at. Let me remind you of something, then we'll go right into our points. We use this verse a lot, and sometimes I'm not sure that we use it correctly. This verse, Matthew 7:21. Here's the verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Sometimes I think we take that as an evangelistic outreach, an evangelistic challenge for now. My dear friends, you got to read the next verse to get the meaning of that verse. And the next verse says, on that day. This is a future here. This is a not yet, but will become reality when he comes. When he comes, people will be saying, but I've done, and he would say, I never knew you. Yeah, but I knew you and I knew about you and I used your name. That doesn't matter. What matters is he knows you. And that's what he's saying. And that comes in the not yet, in the future. That's the judgment of Christ. That's the day of the Lord. That's on that judgment day. So that's what that's all about. So having said that, let's move into our points for today and our scriptures for today. The kingdom, let's start with the kingdom's existence and the kingdom's nature. I'll just put those together. Existence and nature. Existence and nature. Matthew 3:2. Remember John the Baptist came preaching. What was John the Baptist preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, Matthew's terms. And then right after that, the best preacher in the whole world came preaching. Nobody's as good as this preacher. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The forerunner of Christ, Christ preaching. Those go together. Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent out, the disciples, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom is at hand. Oh. Or Luke 17, 20 and 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, great question. He answered them. I love it when he answers. Notice the answers. You can see it on board or you're in your Bible. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's in the midst of you. Or Luke 11, 14 through 20. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke. And the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Saying that about Jesus. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. The great statement right here. Look at this great statement. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, Jesus now, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. We're looking at the extent and the nature next, the extent of the kingdom. Did you get these? Let me remind you again. John the Baptist, Jesus, it is at hand, it is at hand. Jesus, it's in your midst. Jesus says it right here, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. You see all these things? Do you get the impression that Jesus is saying the kingdom is standing here in front of you people? That's what he's saying. Matter of fact, the Greek words, if you start doing a word study on that, and I just read this, it could be said this way. It could be simple for me. The kingdom of God is right under your nose. He's standing right here. You say, well, don't get all bent out of shape over kingdom. Just think about this. He's come. He is the king of the kingdom. He's standing right here in front of them, and they can't see for looking at their noses. And lost people are that way. Unregenerate people can't see. So I'm going to make a side note here, and then we'll get back. The people of God who have the Holy Spirit, remember his ascension? I go away. But I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to leave my spirit with you. My spirit will be in you who trust me. People, the people of God can see some kingdom in their lives. And you can start with what happened in your heart when Christ came in. A change took place in your life. That's kingdom work. That's kingdom work. So, and I leave you with five proofs that the kingdom of God is present. I just did one of them. He casts out demons. That's one. Two, he has the power over Satan and death. Kingdom has come. Remember his miracles? which is next. He performed many miracles that all we can say is, what? Wow. Kingdom has come. He preached the gospel and people got saved. And last but no means least, there's many more. I just give you five just to think. He, Jesus Christ, forgave sins. Who can forgive sins? You can say, I can forgive somebody their sins. You could forgive somebody their sins and they can forgive you your sins. But who can forgive you in your heart and transform your heart and take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west? Nobody but Christ. Can I get a witness? That's a good one there, man. That's a good one. Number two, the kingdom's authority and reign. We look at this subject of the kingdom and we see God. We see God. This is before Adam. God. He has it all. He's the king of all. He's the king of the whole universe. We got that. But you need to be reminded of this authority. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. And I read this in several translations. And my favorite translation for this, and I know it's a new one, so I'll just throw it out for a few of us know about it. It's called the Legacy Standard. And the reason the Legacy Standard Bible helps us with these names is because this particular translation takes the word L-O-R-D, capital. We know who that is, but it makes it simpler. So here's what it says. 1 Chronicles 29, yours, O Yahweh. You see that? Whoa. Said it just, under the other Bibles, it just says L-O-R-D, cap, all caps. We say, I know who that is. You know who it is now for real. Yahweh. You don't get a name higher than that. Yours, Yahweh, is the greatest, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. You see that? You're talking about authority. Yahweh's authority. Yours is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. That's sacred music there, people. That's sacred writings there, people. Yahweh, he's king, exalted above all. Or Psalms 45, 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. Or Psalms 47, 8. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Do I need to read any more verses so you'll get it that God is the king of the universe? Nothing is happening that's caught him off guard. And everything that's happening, he has a plan because he's the sovereign God who plans it all. And I don't claim to understand hardly any of it, but I trust him. How about you? Yeah. He's the king. Jesus comes along in a great sermon that he preached. Here's what he said, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? They're those who aren't proud, puffed up, and think they can do everything on their own. They are a nobody that turns to a somebody and he changes them. That's the poor in spirit. And what are they? Notice it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And last, under this section of authority and reign, is this great passage we all love, but I want to point out to you because it's worth reading, because it's this great passage. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, Jesus now, get it? What did he say? Some authority, no. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Next principle. As you're going, Therefore, what I've just said, I have authority. As you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ as well. So that's the authority and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the king and his laws, the third part of the kingdom teaching here. By the way, there's books written on the kingdom, so you'll not think I'm exhausting this subject. Books, books, and books. Okay. The kingdom's king and law. Oh, that's such a powerful, sacred passage as well. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. No, this is not Christmas. We're going to use this since it's not Christmas. You ready? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his throne, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is a messianic promise here. This is the Messiah has been revealed. He's the king over the kingdom of God. He's revealed here. It's such a powerful passage. From his conception to his birth to his life to his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That's who we're talking about here. This king. He's the king of the kingdom of God. Or Psalms 2 is rich. Verses 6 and 7. Just pick out a couple of verses. Psalm 2. As for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decrees. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Or verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That's Christ. Jesus Christ is the king of God's kingdom. Daniel saw that in a vision. I won't read it. Chapter 7, verse 13, 14. He saw this Messiah in this vision. I love John 18. I'm going to read this one. John 18, 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, Get this picture. Jesus before Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Great passage. Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, we're talking about the kingdom now. He lets us see another glimpse of it. My kingdom is not of this world. Wait a minute. It's already, but it's not yet. It is already. It's a spiritual kingdom for God's people. It's an invisible kingdom to God's people. And only the Holy Spirit can give you a glimpse of what his kingdom is like. And your life should be able to reflect back to before Christ and now after Christ and say, he's come in me. I'm different. So he said, my kingdom's not of this world. We can say to that, amen. I mean, this world has its kingdom and its kings, and they're not from God. There's Satan's kingdom, and there's the world's kingdom, and there's all kinds of kingdoms. But only one that's perfect, and the king is King Jesus. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Don't you love it? So you're king. I like that. Jesus answered, you say I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, end quote. You want to know if you're in the kingdom? Whose voice are you listening to, and whose voice are you obeying, and what's the results of the voice you're obeying? If you're listening to the world, you can stay out of trouble some. But a lot of people listen to the world and they don't stay out of trouble. And they're in trouble up to their eyes. But in Christ, listen to him. Those who are in his kingdom, even though it's an invisible kingdom, it will be a visible kingdom. It's invisible, but it's not invisible to the people of God. Very important. King Jesus sits on his throne at the right hand of his Father. He makes intercession for his people. He rules the kingdom of God. His people listen to him. You remember what Jesus said? He told us, he said this. John 10:27. I know you remember this. Simple. The Lord Jesus, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. It's easy to say I'm a follower of Jesus. The Pharisees said stuff like that. It's easy to pop off words and say stuff. It's not easy to live in a wicked world and be a victorious Christian in a wicked, sinful, evil world that hates you. But if you're in the kingdom, and let me say it a simple way now, and the kingdom is in you, you'll make it. I promise. You'll make it. You'll make it. Matthew 22. Such a great passage here. King Jesus, he sits on his throne. He's in the right place. He governs the kingdom of God. Listen to this. But when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer. Oh, don't you love lawyers? They ask some questions, can't they? A lawyer asked him a question to test him. Teacher, just hear that smart lawyer. Teacher, which is the great commandments in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. You want to talk about the king and his law and the challenge that he gave us there? He gives us every time I read it, all I can say is, I wish it were so in my life. I wish I could stand here in front of you and be honest. I'm going to be honest. That's the reason I'm saying this. But be honest and say, I love the Lord all my life. All since I've been a Christian, I have loved the Lord with all my heart. In all my soul, in all my mind, in all my might, and love my neighbor as myself. I've broke that commandment. Anybody here got a witness to that? Just a groan will do. Aren't you grateful for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness? And we're able to take from that and say, I wish I could do that. To, I am in process of doing that the best I can with what I got. Can anybody take that and say, yeah, I can grasp that. I'm in process of that. I'm in process of that. All right, last point. Time's just right. Just right on time. Thank you, Lord. This one is the one that I want to camp on a little longer as my time permits. It looks like it has. The kingdom citizens. Kingdom citizens. And by the way, the outline and the questions will be in your email box tomorrow. But just in case Somebody here says, I just want them today. There's a few on the table out here. We ran this and we worked this ahead of time. This is not normal. Don't expect it ever again unless we do this in advance like we did this with the elders' retreat. So questions will be in the mail. Here's my two questions. Who are kingdom citizens? That's a good question now for us. Who are kingdom citizens? Or let me say it a way that I want to say it even better. How can someone become a kingdom citizen? That's a question that we need to answer before we answer who are kingdom citizens. I'll answer that, but I want to talk about this one first. How can someone become a kingdom citizen? How does someone become a kingdom citizen? Now, let me make it real simple for you in that question. How does someone become a genuine, true believer? How's that? How? Please don't take what you hear sometimes in stadiums with thousands and thousands and thousands and a preacher. He looks like he's about this tall standing there. Don't take what he says. I've heard those. Or don't go to some mega church on YouTube or wherever and listen what this guy says. I'm just telling you, this is only my opinion, and I have a right to my opinion, and you do too. Most of those I hear, it's an incomplete gospel. Jane and I were at one approximately a year ago because one of our friends just begged us to go. After a while, you say, okay. So on the way home, she always says, go ahead. And I said, what are you trying to say? She said, Danny, Mr. Critical, go ahead. And I said, baby, I'm going to be straight up. A partial gospel is no gospel. Matter of fact, I went on to say, you know what bothers me about what I heard from that seeker-friendly mega? You know what I heard? I said, in my ears, he is making many of them twice the sons of hell. Because he left out the most important. And I'm hesitant to say that. Let me say it another way. He left out the first step of the gospel. You know what the first step of the gospel is? You're a hell-deserving sinner. That's what you are. And you don't deserve anything but hell. You see, that's the doctrines of grace. He said, what's the doctrines of grace? Oh, man's total inability. It starts there. When no one tells people about the condition of the soul and where it started in the Garden of Eden, and everyone, he's the federal head, there's Adam, everyone is right behind him with the same condition. We all were kicked out of the garden. Until people know that, They didn't get the whole gospel. They got a portion of it, maybe. That's just what troubles me. So I'm just telling you, it's got to be man's total inability. We are Romans 5:12. We're a product of Adam. In us, we are fallen creatures. We're dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. That's who we are, dead spiritually. We have nothing to offer Christ. He's the only hope for us. So I think that's what I want to throw out for you. And yes, the remainder of those is God's unconditional election, Christ's particular redemption, the effectual call by the Holy Spirit, and then perseverance of the saints. Those are the five doctrines of grace. And it appears to me that all the places in general across the land don't use that approach. And we wonder why people are making a stab at it and then they're gone somewhere. We wonder why, don't we? The reason is they didn't get the whole gospel, and it takes the full gospel for the Spirit of God to work in the hearts. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness. That's got to happen. So it's the gospel. So to answer the question, how can someone become a citizen of the kingdom? They have to be, you know what the word is now? Born again. Yeah. Why don't we just read it? Jesus and Nicodemus. I'll just read a verse or two. Jesus discussing this with this religious leader, a Pharisee, this religious guy. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See it? That's a fact. The truth is, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm not as bad as some other people. I know some people I'm a whole lot better than they are. Yeah, but see, that won't wash with God. He ain't interested in you comparing yourself with somebody else. He's interested in you comparing yourself with Christ. Now, you're saying, "Wow, I fall short comparing myself to Christ." Now you're ready for the gospel. So, you must be born again. Oh, verse 5. Look at verse 3, 5. Jesus answered. He goes on and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." There's got to be a cleansing and a washing by the death and burial and resurrection blood of Christ. There's got to be this new creation that's created in you, a new person. That's kingdom citizens. That's kingdom citizens now. Now we move right into it. So here's my statement. All born-again believers are kingdom citizens. Let me say that again. All born-again believers are kingdom citizens. All. That's what that is. It's not like what happened to me years ago. Still remember it? It's so clear in my mind, not too far from here. Knocked on a door, person had been attending, lady, don't usually go to ladies by myself, but she was about 75, I figured I could get by with it. We stood at the door and talked, and she said, "Won't you come on in, preacher? It's hot, hot out there." So I stepped in and we talked a few minutes, and I asked her, this is what I asked her. I said, "Ma'am, have you been born again?" She said, "Well, you could easily look at me. I can tell by somebody looking at me like, why would you say something like that to a sweet old lady?" Because I don't want her to miss heaven. And I said, "Have you been born again?" She said, "I don't know what that means." Exact words. I'm quoting. Because it stuck. Preacher. That's the way she threw it on me. "Preacher, I don't know what that means." I said, "Do you mind if I help you with that?" "Please." Gave her the gospel. I don't know. I'm going to trust the Lord with that. But how about that? I'm afraid there's a lot like that, but you need to know. So, all born-again believers are kingdom citizens. Here's some proof of kingdom citizenship. Ephesians 2, 17 through 19. "And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access into one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer," now listen to this and read it, you're looking at it. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's kingdom citizens now. They're in the kingdom. That's kingdom citizens there. Or here's another kingdom citizens passage. Philippians 3:20, 21. "But our citizenship," can't be any clearer than that. Our. Who's the our? The born again people. The born again people. Not somebody that's trying and not somebody that's hoping. The born again who know they're born again according to Scripture are kingdom citizens. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body." It's going to happen one day. Not right now, because this thing I'm standing on even is hurting us a little bit right here with this old bones. You got them too, some of you. Some of you don't know anything about it, but you will. transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. His glorious body, whoa, hey, I'm looking forward to that. By the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is King Jesus here. When he comes and sets up his reign on earth and destroys all the wicked, we who are here will have glorified bodies just like his. That's going to happen. That's the not yet. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There it is. Or Matthew 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes, this is the not yet. He's already come, lived his life, died, going to be with the Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's still king, and I trust he's king of your life and king of your heart and king of your soul. Anyway, go back. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Listen to it now. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can I get a smile that that day is coming? It is not now. It has not come. But he has come. He has come. This is the phrase here. Already and not yet. He has come already and not yet. Let me summarize that in my couple of minutes left. Here's Danny's summarization of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came when Jesus Christ came and gave his life a ransom for sinners and transformed their life and ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus Christ comes again, he will set up his visible kingdom on earth in the new heaven and the new earth, and only the people of God will experience this perfect kingdom for all eternity. Did you get that? That's just my thoughts on the whole scope of all of it. I am confident that he's coming. The scripture says he's coming. The Spirit of God in me says he's coming. And my words will be the closing words of the book of Revelation. You know what those words are? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Join me in prayer now. Our Father, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters, brethren, to dwell together in unity. And it is my prayer, it is my plead with you to speak to every heart here, the ones that are sitting in this building. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us with those promises. He is our King. We long to be with him in a perfect kingdom, not in this wicked, sinful world, but yet you put us here. And we are here to share the gospel, to be light and salt in a sinful, evil place. But yet we are to shine because of Christ. So I ask that you speak to our hearts, that you encourage us, that you cause us to perhaps think about our citizenship. Are we kingdom citizens? For real. Because when he comes, it'll be too late. It's not too late now. we're living and we're able and we're listening. So would you speak to our hearts? Would you encourage your people? It is my heart's desire that your people, the people of God who love you with all their heart, and we're working on that commandment day after day, failing, yes, but still working at it. So would you help us to be encouraged about the now? He has come. And the not yet, he's coming. Would you help us to live as though he was here? Help us to live that way, as though the judge was judging us. And we want to hear those great words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I thank you for your people. And I thank you most of all for Christ. And I thank you for the Word of God that we can read and we can meditate and we can see and we can savor and we can hear and we can enjoy some of the kingdom in this life. But in us, the Holy Spirit, help us. Help us, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.